Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, and it's that time of the week. Our good friend Chris Mason brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. C. Mace, what's going on, my man? How are you?
What's up, guys? Not too much. Just getting up, trying to help some school stuff, get organized, and enjoy the nice weather here on the deck and talk to you guys.
How would you rate your schooling ability, your teaching ability? Is it coming along well? How's that going?
I try. It's my wife's definitely better suited for it. For the I have a eighth grader who's very independent, and I have a third grader who is also very independent, but she needs some help and assistance with some of her stuff. So I'm getting better. I'm not bad.
I think Rex Road's in the same boat.
I'm awful. I mean, I can't even do times tables anymore, man. It's bad.
Well, I don't mind that because I'll go do the research on that stuff. But I just it's some of the, you know, you have to go into this program for this and this program for that and this app on the, you know, I'm getting frustrated and I have to leave and take a breath, deep breath and come back and all right, let's do this.
That's right. Well, see, Mace, obviously, John Hines and David Poyle spoke last week, and it's going to be an interesting offseason in terms of what changes the Predators make, what they're able to make. And I'm not going to ask you about, you know, personnel changes specifically because I think that's too hard to sit here and predict. But as you look at the Predators roster, as they've come out of the series against Arizona, are there some ingredients that you think may be missing from this lineup that you didn't see enough of, both in the regular season and in the playoffs, that you think they need to address moving forward? And what would some of those be?
Yeah, I definitely think there are. I think, you know, as a team, I think there's different ways to be hard to play against. I think obviously if you can score a bunch of goals and, you know, you have good goaltending, you're hard to play against. I feel like they're starting to get John Hines' system in terms of being hard to play against defensively. And giving up a lot of scoring chances. I feel their structure is getting there. That's another way to be hard to play against. But I also feel like the element of grit and, you know, physicality and a little bit intimidating to play against, hard to play against in that sense, where I don't think really that they were. I think you saw an example of that when Tenorti started to play regularly. I thought teams played differently against the Predators when he was on the ice, because they knew that, you know, if you go to the net and you try to get that position or you try to get inside and win a battle, you're going to get punished. Well, players play differently when you know there's a guy on the ice that's going to be able to do that. I don't feel like they really have that up front. I feel like, you know, obviously I think a guy that is the epitome of what they need, that element, is like a Matthew Tkachuk, and I know that he is maybe one of only a couple players that have the element of skill and physicality and intimidation, and the way that he agitates is not very common. But I feel like the Predators need that type of a player, that type of sandpaper and grit up front, where you're hard to play against. Someone's in your face all the time, whether it's, you know, a scrum in front of their net, whether it's, you know, at the bench and trying to intimidate the other team. Just with the way that you play, I don't know if you guys watched a lot of the Calgary-Winnipeg series, but, you know, Matthew Tkachuk was the story of that series. I think he might have only got one goal in the entire series, but he completely derailed the Winnipeg Jets' game plan. They were all about him and, you know, Calgary Rock. And I think that when you look at our roster right now, I feel there's a lot of players, there's a lot of good hockey players on there, but they're all very similar in the way that they play the game. And I think you need more balance. You need some different guys in there that are going to, you know, poke the other team a little bit and get in there and be that hard-nosed guy that the other team just hates to play against. And they've got some physical guys that'll get in there and do that kind of work, but just not the level that I feel that you need to be really effective, especially in a playoff series. When you're playing a team seven times, or what, you know, obviously this was five times or whatever it was, you have to have those guys that the other team just can't stand, that every single time they're on the ice, they just dread playing against this guy or those guys. And I don't necessarily think that the Preds have that element right now.
Not necessarily from the agitation standpoint, but just from the physicality standpoint. What about a Trennan? Do you think, you know, a guy like that could emerge and have a bigger role along those lines?
Well, I think if he continues to develop the way that he is and the way that he's playing, you know, I don't know for sure if he played like that all the way down in the minors, but when you come up to the National Hockey League, a lot of guys have to change their identity a little bit, and he's very capable. He is, this guy's an ox. And the way, you know, he can be an agitator, because it kind of even make you more mad when a guy is running through you, you know, at 100 miles an hour, and he fighting you. I mean, he took on Zdeno Chara, you know, the guy's fearless. And then he doesn't have that personality, but he just keeps running through you, and he's got the skill, too. He's not going to be that, you know, flamboyant, over-the-top agitator that's going to get in there. And obviously, you know, his English probably isn't the best too, but I really do feel that the way that he played the game is exactly what that type of player the Preds need. And you can get the other guys, you know, either via free agency, or I don't know, you know, if they have that in the system right now, but you can bring somebody like that in. But I do think Trennan is the type of player that this roster needs. I feel that that when he played games too, I feel that, you know, they looked different. They played different. They had a different feel to them, and that was more of the style of player, the player that I think that would really dramatically help their lineup. And just being hard to play against. He's hard to play against.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on the line with us, brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops. And Chris, obviously, this offseason, Kyle Turris is going to be a big talking point and a big point of conversation, and we all know, we've been talking about it for a long time, it just has not worked out here so far for Kyle Turris. And I think there are a lot of factors that go into that. It's not just as simple as he got here and forgot how to play hockey. I don't believe that's the case at all. But if you're the Predators and you look at Turris and the Duchesne and the disappointing seasons that they've had, where do you go from here with some of those guys that, if they're going to be here and they're going to be effective, probably have to play in a top six role?
Well, I think, you know, they're in a situation where, you know, you heard David Poile talk about, you know, giving some young guys opportunities and doing whatever it's going to take to give John Hines the players that he needs, you know, to play his style of hockey and his brand and how he believes a team should be built based on the identity that he wants his team to play with. So I don't know. I think that every option is going to be looked at here. And, you know, this is something that's, you know, obviously above my pay grade, but you have to, if you have a player like Kyle Turris and, you know, he's a centerman and, you know, there's not a spot in the top six that you can play him in and you have to play him on the wing, you're going to have to, you know, look at different options to get the roster constructed with the right personnel that you want that fit into, you know, your top six. And if Kyle Turris isn't, you know, in that situation, then they're going to have to look at options, you know, for Kyle, whether it's, you know, making a trade or, you know, buying out or whatever the case may be. I don't know, but, you know, Turris isn't going to be happy here as a third, fourth line player. You know, that's just the reality of it. He doesn't want to play the wing. You know, not many players that are career centermen want to go and play on the wing and get adjusted to, you know, a completely new position they're not really familiar with. And I'm not trying to speak for Kyle Turris. I'm just making generalizations that's typically what happens. A guy, you want to play your position. You want to play with the players that are going to give you the best chance to succeed and put up numbers. And, you know, that's just not the case. So I think all options are on the table here when you're looking at trying to come back after a couple really disappointing seasons. I think, you know, a couple moves down at the bottom isn't going to completely change your team. You got to make some drastic, you know, some drastic moves here. And it's easier said than done with all the contracts. But I think, you know, if you're David Poile and company, you kind of have to look at every option.
Yeah, and if we assume, Chris, that top line now is kind of reunited and hanging in the way they played so well together in that series, And we asked this of David Poyle. I'll ask you this. What kind of player, and maybe who or even just a type, will draw out the best in Matt Duchene moving forward? You know, what do you think would suit him best if those guys are staying together? Because I think everyone would love to have Forsberg with them. But is who, what kind of player, and then is there someone, maybe a young guy or someone else in the lineup who you think would be that guy?
Well, I think you're going to need a guy that's got an element of grit and physicality to him. I think, you know, you mentioned Forsberg. I think Forsberg can play like that. You need someone who's going to draw coverage that can open up space for Matt Duchene. I think if Matt Duchene's the only skill guy or the main skill guy on the line, I think he draws extra coverage, and I think that it doesn't open up a lot of space. You need somebody that can skate. I think you need kind of, maybe a Nick Bonino 2.0, that type of player, maybe a little more skilled, but someone that's going to go get the pucks in the corner and be able to cycle with Matt Duchene and open up some space for him. I have to go look. Somebody in the system that is like that, I don't know. Maybe Tolvanen could be that kind of guy. I think he's starting to play a little more North American. Rem Pitlick to me is a guy that I think if, you know, give him some experience, that, you know, the potential for him to be a player for Matt Duchene to play with, I think is good, because he's going to be the one that's going to go fish out the pucks, and he's going to be the one that's in front of the net, and he's going to be the one. When you have a guy that goes right to the net, you know, that draws coverage, and that opens up space for guys like Matt Duchene. But on the other side of that, on his other wing, you're going to need a guy that can make plays, that's got skill, that can be, when you put that puck on a stick, he's going to put it in the back of the net. It's got a good one-timer. You know, when Matt Duchene, I feel, when him and Phil at the beginning of the year, they were so good at giving goes and, you know, just giving the puck to the other one in full stride. And you have those threats that demand equal coverage. So you can't really, double team a player or be harder, you know, and just say, hey, just take away Matt Duchene on this line and we're fine. You know, you need that other threat too. So you need a lot of balance. You need a guy that's, a grinder type of player with some skill that's going to get you the pucks and that's going to go to the net and take the coverage there. And then you need another skill guy like a Forsberg or someone, you know, of that mold. That can play with a lot of skill and get you the puck and you know, do something when you give him the puck.
See, Mace, last thing for you here. Just looking at the goaltending situation moving into next year, I think Saros played really well down the stretch. I thought he was fine in the series against Arizona as well. But just knowing Pekka the way I do, and you know him much better than I do, it had to be frustrating for him to not be able to get out there and play. And obviously he's never going to say anything about it. He's not going to show that. He's about as good of a teammate as you could ask for. But where do you think Pekka is psychologically right now as we're looking ahead at the Predators coming back next season?
Well, I think he had to be frustrated. I think when you're in a series like that and you're a player of his caliber that, you know, has done what he's done in his career, and he's probably sitting there thinking, man, he wants to help his team. You know, he's waiting there for that opportunity, to jump in the net and get his team a win and you know, get – you know, when his name's called, it gets pat on the back to go in there. The guy wants to play, you know. So I imagine at the end of that series when they lost out, he was probably just as or more frustrated than anybody and not getting the opportunity to do that. I know that for a fact, and I know that, you know, he's going to come back. And that you heard David Poyle talking about, he looks at the situation as a great tandem. And I believe that in the NHL, that's what it is more. Now, it's, you know, you may have certain circumstances where your guy, you have the clear-cut number one, but look at any of these teams. Even look at, like, Dallas, is Ben Bishop. He was up for the Vezina. But they have Hudobin. They'll go to any guy at any given time who's ever hot is going to play, and I think you have to have two guys. The teams that have the one guy are the ones, they get into big trouble. Carey Price in Montreal, you have that kind of he had two or three different backups that some young guys rotating around this year. You know, when he's playing well, it's fine, but it's impossible, guys. Just you can't have that level of play the entire season, or if an injury happens, you know, I think that when I look at this situation, is I still think Pekka has a lot to give in terms of, you know, high-end goaltending. I think that he's everything that he does is geared around, you know, getting in shape and being ready to play in the season. And I think we saw that at times last year, especially at the beginning of the year. Obviously, the middle part, him and the entire team struggled. But I thought at the end, too, even when Juice was taken over, that Pex was really good in his opportunity. So I still think he's got a lot left in the tank. And then, you know, obviously Saros, like you said, you know, he was good in the playoffs. I didn't think he was great, or obviously, you know, Kemper at the other end was making the big save here and there. I didn't think Juice was bad. Down the stretch, he was absolutely lights out. I think he's a phenomenal goaltender. I say this on the broadcast all the time, and I mean it. He's one of the best technically sound goaltenders. He's almost the perfect goaltender in terms of the way he plays the game. But having said that, I think both guys, you're going to need both guys. And we definitely haven't seen the last of Pecorino, that's for sure.
Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, has been our guest here on Morning Drive, brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops. See, Mason, thanks as always, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Great chatting again. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Joe, when we come back, we've got some breaking news from Mayor John Cooper to get to revolving around Nissan Stadium. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.